Living in hope, finding that hope. Here on this first Sunday of Advent, the gospel lesson that we have from Mark's gospel is to be read. It's to announce the one of the major themes of this season, the expectation of the coming of Christ in glory at the end of time. Nobody knows when that's going to happen. It tells us right there in the scripture, no one knows the hour, the moment, the time. Only the Father. And in Mark's gospel today, it draws on the observed natural wonders of his time. And he paints a scary picture of the end of the world and an apocalyptic coming of the Son of Man. Eclipses of the sun and moon, meteors, and shooting stars provide Mark with all kinds of metaphors of cataclysm that announce the appearance of the Heavenly Father as Redeemer and Judge. To this, he adds to the metaphor of the fig tree as a sign of the approaching fullness of the summertime, of new growth, of newness. And the owner of the house whose return the members of the house anticipate, somebody is going to return. You're waiting for somebody to come home. Think about it, if you will. I think about when I'm anticipating somebody to return. I can remember as a little kid, my sisters and I, our dad went to work very early of a morning, and when he would come home in the afternoon, and this was even before we started to school, we knew what time he was coming home, and we anticipated that because we were always excited and to make sure that when he'd come, and we were happy to see him come. It's like when somebody's gone on a long journey and they come home, you anticipate their return. What all this adds up to is a call to keep awake and to watch. It will depend upon those of us who hear with understanding of the one who is expected, the Son of Man, to determine in what way one watches and waits. You know, you and I have learned a great deal about the sun, the moon, and the stars since the time that Mark's gospel was written, since Mark painted a picture of the apocalyptic scenes that we have read about, that we see, that other people of end times have written all kinds of books about. But our world is no less scary. We still live in a scary place. We would come up with our own pictures of threat and disaster. We know that the ecosphere could die. We have seen cities and their populations dissolve in the fervent heat. Despite the fact that we know much more about how the earth and the heavens work, we could still paint a more electrifying scenario of disaster that would have occurred, that would never have occurred to Mark. Think about it. We've got global warming, global viruses, and global warfare. It happens in our world today. We're experiencing it. We're seeing it. We're a product of it. What is important here, however, is not these grim projections of what's going to happen. Oh, doomsday. You hear people preaching and teaching that, running around screaming and yelling at folks. You better be ready. The end of time's coming. How do they know? Has God told them? God says, the Scripture says, that only the Father knows when that's going to happen. But you know, the call to keep our eyes open, not just open, but wide open, it says, and to live in hope. Isn't that what this is all about? Isn't that what everything is all about today? Not living in our fears, but getting in touch with our hopes. What is it that you hope for? I suppose it is true that fear can spur us, get our attention, and it can wake us up. Yes, it can. It can scare us. It can shake us. But does not just plain, unmitigated fear finally paralyze us? Sometimes people are so frightened that they can't do anything else. It makes us want to run and hide, or at least to distract ourselves. So many times in our lives, fear leads us not to action, but to hiding, to giving up, caving in, and not caring. When we get afraid of something, we don't want to be a part of it anymore. We back away. Mark's little apocalypse today causes us to keep awake and watch. One way to help ourselves to do that is to get in touch with our hopes. What is it? What is it really that you are hoping for? What are you truly hoping for? Some, of course, can give you quite a simple answer, one based on a certain way of looking at Mark. It's apocalyptic writings. And some will quote and say, I don't really hope for much in this old world at all. Jesus is coming soon. That's all that matters. So I'll just keep my eyes on the prize. Well, people say that all the time. But do they truly? A friend of mine tells a story of a time that he was a student at Baylor University in Waco, Texas. He said the Branch Davidians were in camp just outside the city in those days, waiting for the end of the world. While I'm in class writing term papers, living my life, doing the things that you do, they watched and they waited in their uncomfortable camp. That would be one way of looking at it, he says, and it is an apocalyptic view that takes many forms. All of them, in one way or another, tend to give up on the world of commuters and the dreams of college kids and the care of the world we were entrusted with. You see, God entrusted us with this world that we live in. He created it, us in His image, to be like Him. He created this world for us to take care of and to share and to have for the rest of the generations to come. You see, that might be quite close to the attitude of Mark's community. They were under siege, and their future on this earth could not have looked too bright. They were probably frightened. But this text today, especially if we read it on the first Sunday of Advent, need not lead us to disrespect our life on earth or to watch and wait in fear. We should not be watching and waiting in fear, cowering down. Mark's message to us today is likely, this world is passing away. We do not know what will happen tomorrow. It could all end real soon. So keep awake. Keep your eyes open and let a servant expecting a master's return do all you can for your household. Do all you can where you are for the household that you are a part of. You see, this would be more like the love of a church that we have. This church here, this community, the church knows that it is all passing away, but it lives as if every child, every sick person, every old and lonely person matters. Because guess what? They do. The church watches and waits in hope, and so it is empowered, you and I, to serve the one who was and is and is to come. You see, Mark could paint the most alarming picture of the end of it all and then say that living is like seeing the signs of summer that we find when he says it's like seeing the signs of summer when you look at a flowering fig tree and like trying to be faithful in your duties day by day, not knowing when the master will come. So we need to watch and wait. For we know what we have to do. We have to always be prepared. We have to be at ready. We need to be like the signs of summer in the flowering fig tree. We need to look and find that hope everywhere we can. Let us pray. Great and mighty God, we do thank you this day for your word. We thank you for loving us and blessing us. We thank you for allowing us to be a part of this time today, to come into your house, to share, to listen, to be. We come to this time, Lord, when in a few minutes we will come to your table. We will come and commune as brothers and sisters in Christ. We will come and serve together. We will live together. We will break bread together. We ask, Lord, your grace and mercy to be upon us not only this day, but in all the days to come. For it is in your Son's great and holy name we do pray. Amen. Let us stand and sing hymn number 171. There's something about that name, number 171.